Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be.
With my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be.
With my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, praise the Lord, and greetings everyone in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word this evening, Father, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to give us the guidance, Father, that we need and take us into the depth of this, your word, and stand us in your truth, Father. And may the word spoken this evening, Father, be yours and not mine. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we get into the scripture, I got some things I wanted to share with everyone this evening. The Lord's had me in meditation this week. In fact, since Monday night. Well, early Monday morning, really. I'd went to bed Sunday night, and it was early Monday morning. And whether it was a dream or a vision, I don't know. When it first took place, I thought it was a dream. But yet it seemed then like a vision. Didn't seem like I was really totally asleep. But I couldn't really tell. We all know that we're living in the last time. And we're living in perilous days. Bad things is happening. And it's going to get worse. But also, we're beginning to see an awakening of a lot of mankind and turning to the Lord Jesus Christ and really seeking the right way. I'm seeing more of the pastors changing their teaching and getting deeper into the gospel. But this had happened early Monday morning, and God came to me I was here in this church. I was up here. There was also another man up here with me that was going to be doing the speaking at that time. And the church was full. So I'm asking everyone to be praying hard for me the rest of this week, that God will give me the real answer to this dream or this vision, whichever it was. Because it was plain. I could even see the faces of those that were sitting here in the church. The man that was up there with me that was going to be speaking through that service, I did not know. I didn't know him. At that time, I still don't. Know who he was. I didn't recognize him. So I really don't know whether God is planning on putting somebody else in here, or whether he's just showing me that we're going to have a revival and he's going to bring the church back together. So I need your prayers. And I'm praying that God will give us the answer to that by this weekend. I've wrestled with it all week. Been in meditation and all, in prayer. Even when I got here this evening, I've already spent time here in prayer, asking God for the revelation of this dream and whether or not he is going to be bringing somebody else here, or if he was showing me that he was just going to build this ministry and fill this church again. Whichever way that it's meant, this church will have a good congregation, because almost every seat was full in this dream or vision that God had given me. So right now, all I can say is only he knows. But I do know one thing. I know man is hard to get to listen to the word of God. He wants to listen to everything else except the truth of God's word. And he doesn't want that. And it seems like they're doing everything they can to keep away from the truth. But something is going to happen here in this church that is going to bring people in to fill these seats. So all of you be praying with me and for me, all right? And pray hard. And do it from the heart. All right, enough about that. We all know, as I said earlier, that we are living in perilous times. Man's not wanting to listen to God. But I am seeing more and more and more of the pastors right now that is changing their way of teaching and preaching. They're getting deeper into the Word of Almighty God. There is an awakening coming. How long it'll last, we don't know. How much time we have left to reach people, we don't know. But I am here to let you know that if you've got family and things that you want to see saved, to make heaven their home, you better be doing a lot of praying for them and a lot of talking with them and doing everything you can do to get them there. I was wondering what to speak on this evening, because you know I had told you we was going to be going through the Old Testament. But the Lord said, no, not yet. Because we are still in need of reaching a lot of mankind. And if you'll remember where I'm going to be speaking to you from this evening, remember these scriptures. They may help you reach some that you would want to see saved that's being hard to reach. I'm going to be speaking to you from a couple of different places, but first we're going to be dealing with Acts chapter 5. Do you want to get there with me? We're going to start here reading with verse 12 of chapter 5. It says, and by the hand of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest does no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the city round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they found them not in the prison. They returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the man whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we strictly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him has God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood up there one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, you men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And may the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this his word. We start out here with this 12th verse. These were men that were filled with the Holy Spirit. We know that. You say, well, Pastor, how do we know? Well, we're being told here, because that verse 12 tells us, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders brought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Many of the gifts of the Spirit was at work among these men. These men were solid in the Spirit of Almighty God, to where they was even bringing the sick and laying them in the streets to be healed. Wasn't going to church, laying them in the streets. Went on 13 and says, and of the rest does no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. Now, they're trying to lift the apostles up. But you see, that won't work, because we're not to be lifted up. I can preach the word to you. I can bring healing to you. But you're not to look at me. You're to look at the one that works through me, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one you praise. He gets it all. He's the one that paid the price. I didn't pay that price. He paid it. He's the one that's worthy of that praise. There in 15 it says, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. We do know, because It is written in other scripture where just Peter's shadow touching people was bringing about healing. You see, here in Acts, that's not the only place you'll find that. But we have to be men of God in order for things to work like that. They're not going to work through you and I unless we belong to Him. With all of our being, with all of our hearts and all of our desire, and not letting other things come between us and the Lord Jesus Christ. Pardon me. But that's what's happening today. With things like they are, mankind is not getting into the Word of God. They are not studying, let alone bringing that Word into their lives and making it a living Word to reach out as it should be doing. They're following mankind, what man says. Man said, close the doors of your church. So what did they do? They closed the doors of their church. All except two or three. Maybe a couple of didn't. In fact, there was even two in California. As rough as things has gotten there, that didn't close their doors. And these doors has never been closed. And they stuck the mask on, like they were told. Why that mask? All because the government wanted to see how hard it would be to control you. That's exactly what it was about. They have used this virus. This virus is real, yes. How much death and destruction it's caused, we'll never really know. Because we know we have been lied to about it. We know they've counted a lot of deaths to this virus that was not caused by this virus. Natural deaths even. Accidental deaths. I know of a man that died of a heart attack. But when they got his death certificate back, on his death certificate, it was marked death by COVID-19. He didn't have it. Two cousins killed in a car accident. They get their death certificates. They died by COVID-19. The family called the hospital to find out why they had done that, and the hospital told them. Because we were told to, and we get money for each one of them. In fact, the hospital told them that they get $35,000 for each one. And that couple lives right here in Meade County. They had the cousins killed in a car accident. We'll never know the truth. But God does still have men out here that are willing to die for Him. And it's those men that He is beginning to use again to bring about a great awakening among mankind. We've got states now, few, still very few, but we've got a few states now is standing up and telling the government no more. We want no more of this. Things are changing even in California. Florida has already changed, been changed for quite a while now. Even Georgia, one of the states that was used the greatest in the election fraud, is changing their belief. Because God is raising up His people. And we are going to see a great awakening. And we are going to see a revival in this land that is going to prepare mankind to meet the Lord Jesus Christ when He comes for the church. But how long we have, we don't know. But just like the apostles here in this chapter, they had been in prison. Now they was caught preaching the same thing again, preaching Jesus. And they were asked, did we not straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. After already being in prison. But God brought them out of that prison. They went right back to teaching. And now that's what they've just been told again. But you know what I like was this next verse. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. This is what our preachers need to be doing today, standing up, being accounted for, standing on the word of Almighty God, obeying Him rather than mankind, and preaching the truth of His word, and not this weak, watered-down version that they have made out of it, to where when they send the word out, it comes back void. It comes back where it has not done any good. Because it's not been the truth. And it was put out by someone that was not spirit-filled. It wasn't the spirit that put the word out there. It was man that done it. And that's what we don't need today. We don't need that. We need the spirit speaking. Now, I want to share something else with you this morning, or this evening rather, that the Lord gave me. I told you, He'd been working with me all week, meditating, praying, changing. Every time I'd think, well, I'm going to be preaching on this come Thursday night, He'd tell me, nope. Got something else for you. He gave me this because He said, this is what's needed today. So if you want to follow with me, come over to 1 Peter, chapter 4. And why I'm here, actually why God brought me here, was for one verse. We're going to get a few more verses out of this and that. But this one verse is why He brought me here. It will let all of us have a little greater understanding of why we ought to obey God rather than man. Because in the day and time we are living, and the shape the church has got in it, this is what God had to say about it. In verse 17, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. His places, these places of worship that we call the church, that's where his judgment is beginning. That's why they are going through what they're going through today. God is passing judgment upon all these weak, watered-down churches and their preachers. And there's only going to be a few that'll be left standing. Wait and see. Don't take my word for it. Take God's word for it. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And he goes on to tell us just how strong we must walk. He says, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? If the righteous, those that are walking with him, are just barely saved, if they just barely make it, what's going to happen to that weak, watered-down crew sitting in these weak churches that has had no teaching of righteousness, really? They don't stand a chance, do they? God's word, not mine. It's his word. He goes on now. Here in 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. We are to stand always answering unto the Lord Jesus Christ for the way we live each and every day. It's hard to get them out here and get them in church once, twice, three times a week when they need to be there every day. We are told in the scriptures to study his word daily. Or better to study God's word and get the truth of it than in church coming together in one mind and one accord in and with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. That's where understanding comes from. You know, the scripture tells you that without the Holy Spirit, you can't understand God's word. And that's why we've got so many today that shouldn't be behind the podium that's back there, because they're not filled with the Holy Spirit. They're not saved men. They are men that is there for monetary reasons. A good life. A life that's easy. They're not at hard labor. They're not having to get their hands dirty. Yet they're getting them dirty. They just don't know it. They're getting them bloody. Because you see, when we teach wrong, those that we will cause to miss heaven as their home, their blood is upon our hands. God's word. We're not to teach God's word wrong. We're to stand up on it. Teach it the way it's written. Break it down and let the Spirit give us the truth and the depth of how deep that word is and how deep we are to put it within ourselves to see it at work. This is why we've been years now years since we have seen any of the Spirit at work in the church. Have you ever really seen the Spirit at work in the church you've been to? No. And here, for a while I was getting around preaching, well, visiting a few other churches here in this county, here in Meade County, because I was looking for a place that I could go, just go and be a member of the congregation. So I go to this church. And I listen to a man that is supposed to be an evangelist spend his whole time for the service preaching and telling the people that they really didn't need to be baptized, because baptism has nothing to do with you being saved. Think about that. His whole service on that subject. Baptism has nothing to do with you being saved. What a lie. What a lie that is. Without being baptized, you can't be saved. Without baptism, you'll not even be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, you say, oh, yeah, I know it's there in the Bible, but also I know that in the book of Acts, right where you've been, it talks about being baptized with the Holy Spirit first. It does, yes. But what happened? They were baptized with the Holy Spirit, and then they were took and baptized how? In Jesus' name. But they were baptized because they had to put on Jesus. And that's the way we put him on. Just getting those past sins done away with is not enough to save you. Oh, now. Now, Pastor, no, you're wrong there. Oh, that's all it takes. Oh, you just go and get them past sins forgiven, and you're saved. Well, not according to the Word of God. And you're in the right place to find it out right now. In 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, we start here with verse 20. Which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Uh-oh, it does what? What baptism do now? It does now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. That ain't what saved you. Yes, it was put away after you take it to Jesus and he covers it with his blood and you fulfill that plan of salvation as it's given down to us in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. But the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and a man spend his whole time standing preaching that baptism has nothing to do with saving you. Now, I don't know whether you know it or not, because I don't know how much you know about the county. But I'm pretty sure you'd know the church I'm talking about. Brother James, Wolf Creek Baptist Church. You know where it's at, don't you? Do you know? Nice big church. But he spent his whole time. Supposed to be a revival. What it was supposed to be. But why is baptism so important, and what does God's word have to say about it? Well, let's go find out, since we're on this subject, because we got those out here on the internet listening, and they will download even and listen to this message later on, so that they will know and understand. Here's what God's word has to say about what happens to you when you're baptized. God's word, not mine. His word. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now they tell you, you can't live your life without sin in it. And he's asking the question here. Verse 2, he answers that. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Why are you dead to sin? How'd you get dead to sin? His answer. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? When you were baptized in water, this scripture should have been gone over with you before, or at least told to you, until you understood what was happening to you as you were laid back in that water. You were being buried with Christ. You were taking on his death and his burial. His word, not mine. No. You were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized to his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. When you are raised up out of that water, you are being raised in his resurrection. And at that time, you become new. And you are to walk in newness of life. Verse 5. Now let's finish with 4. Baptized his death. Like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. There ain't no might in there, there ain't no maybe. It says should not serve sin. And when you get back into 1 John and find out what happens when you are finished and you are truly born again, he gets even a lot stronger than that. For he that is dead is freed from sin. That baptism freed you from sin. God's word, not mine. His word. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death has no more dominion over him. Death should not have dominion over you. You don't have to commit that sin. You've got something in you that is a lot stronger than Satan, than his bunch of little demons. Yes, he's a master at deceiving. But you have that choice to choose how you're going to live. And you have the Holy Spirit to give you the power to turn and walk away from whatever temptation Satan will bring your way. You don't have to choose to walk in that sin. God's word, not mine. No. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Now, you say, well, that was Jesus. Well, let's see what he expects of you. But hear from his own word. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. You're dead to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Your life is to be lived for Almighty God. You see, once that plan of salvation has been fulfilled in you, you have fulfilled that plan of salvation. You have been reconciled back to the Father. And then your needs are met by him. Why are they met by him? Because that is where all power comes from, the Father. But they come to you and I because we are in Jesus, and Jesus is in us. The Lord God sends these things that we need to you and I through the Lord Jesus Christ. But they come by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. All three parts of the deity of the Godhead is at work within each and every born again child of the living God. That's why we can walk on this earth and walk as Jesus walked. That's why he told you and I that we need healing here in this church. We need the gift of tongues here in this church. We need miracles come forth in this church. We need to see the fruits of the Spirit. People that have been lost being brought into the church. We're not seeing much of that going on today, are we? Let somebody else do it. That's what I'm thinking. Let somebody else do it. I ain't got time. I got a good woman who comes here to church. She's a good woman. Beatrice is a good lady. And she loves Jesus. But if she don't really get a hold of him, she's going to make hell her home. You say, why? You don't see her here tonight, do you? Why is she here? Because some of her family is coming up to spend the weekend with her, so she's going to stay at home with them. She's putting them before the Lord Jesus Christ in the church. And that'll get you a seat in hell. Well, I don't believe that. Well, you don't have to. Until you wake up there, then you believe it, but it'll be too late. He comes first. He is to be first in our lives. My wife is sick. You don't see me sitting home with her and not being in church. Because he's first. in my life. Her and I have been married 30 years. And when we was got engaged and when we were talking about getting married, I told her then, I said, there is something I want you to understand. She said, what's that? And I told her, I'm going to tell you something. You're not first in my life. She looked at me kind of funny. I told her, Jesus is. You're next. And that's what I want from you. I don't come first in your life. He does. And then I'm next. And then our family. And then our work. That's the way priorities should be set up. But we don't do it, do we? We let our families come first. We let our work come first. Well, I got to live. You live. You put your trust in him. He'll see to it. He'll make the way. He'll make a way when they seem there is no way. Well, Pastor, you can't know all of this. Yes, I can, because I have stood before the throne of Almighty God. I have been given up for dead 3 times in my lifetime when I was a young man. The last time I was given up for dead, I was 33 years old. And was supposed to have died in 2 days. The Lord said, I've got a job for you. And I accepted it. And I started walking with him. And I grew and grew and grew until I looked to him. I looked to him for everything I need. And come September the 9th, if he lets me stay here on this earth that long, I'll be 88 years old. And most young people can't keep up with me. And most of them don't want to. Because, old man, you're too active. You're too much on the go. And I thank God for every bit of it. Because I know where my help came from. I know where my health came from. I know where my salvation came from. I know that I can walk wherever he sends me. I'll walk there until he says, I want you away from there. I want you moved until he moves me. And like I was telling you about what he's shown me this week, right now I have no answer for that. That's why I'm asking all of you to pray for me, to pray hard for me, that he'll give me this answer. He'll give me the revelation of the meaning of this vision or this dream, whichever it was. Is he going to be bringing someone else in here to take my place and either take me home or put me somewhere else? I don't know. But I know something is going to happen here in this church. And something is going to fill this church. I don't know how soon. And I don't know who he's going to send with it. I know when it starts, I'll still be here. Because of the vision, I'm here and up here with the man that's going to be speaking at that day. I just want your prayers that he'll let me know what he's got planned for me. I want his will done, his way, whatever it is. If my work is finished for him and he's saying, getting ready to tell me something, I'm home, fine. But if he's wanting to move me, that's fine. If he's wanting to fill the church and use me to help, fine. I'm just asking, Father, let me know. And he told me to share it with the church. And I'm asking everyone that will hear this message tonight to hold me in their prayers, that God will give me the answer he wants me to have. But you see, how so many are teaching the wrong thing about baptism. We've seen back in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, where it told us that even now baptism saves you. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, not the putting away of the sin. Jesus' blood does that. But it's that conscience, that heart that belongs to God, that's got to be clean. And the only way that can be is for you and I to be born again. And to be born again, we have to fulfill that plan of salvation, just as Peter gave it to those that heard him preach one of the greatest messages recorded in the Holy Bible. Here was a man that was so scared when they took Jesus that he hid, denied him 3 times one night before the cock crew, before that rooster crowed. He was so scared he denied him 3 times. And yet, ended up, after being filled on the day of Pentecost with the Holy Spirit. You know, I went for years believing that there was only 12 in that upper room that was filled with the Spirit. But that's not so. That was when Jesus sent the Spirit back to be with all of us. You see, that was the same Spirit Jesus had while he walked here on this earth. It was the Holy Spirit. It was walking with him, just like he walks with those that are born again today. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came the sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now Peter came out of that upper room and started preaching. And preached, as I said, one of the greatest sermons preached. And he let us know, even in that day and time, what was coming. As he begins to tell us, verse 17, and it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And all my servants and all my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor smoke. He goes on then to tell about his second coming, what will take place then. But when he finished, when he finished preaching his message. He comes down here to verse 35 of chapter 2. He goes on, he says, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know it surely that God has made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They're asking, what must we do to be saved? Then Peter said unto them, repent. That's your first. Repent. Confess your sins to the Lord and turn away from them. That's what the word repent means. It means to turn away. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Not all these other names and the way they do it. We're being told straightforward how. For the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Those are the three things that we need to be born again. And we're told back in the Gospel of John, the third chapter, if you want to read that when you get home, where Jesus is talking to Nicodemus and telling him that no man can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born again. We have to be born again. Nicodemus couldn't understand it. And Jesus went on and told him that we have to be born of the water and of the Spirit. We've got to have the both. Man wanted to change it and did. But he told them what to do. Now you say, well, you know, how would you like to be at this baptism? Then they that gladly received his word were baptized the same day. There were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That's what you call a baptism. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of the bread and prayer. And you see, that is the doctrine you and I are told to walk by. When they asked, what doctrine do you teach? I teach the apostles' doctrine. That's that word. This New Testament, that's the apostles' doctrine. That's what I'm not to teach the Baptist doctrine, the Methodist doctrine, or no other doctrine. Pentecostal Church of God? None. I'm to teach that doctrine. In fact, that word tells me that if I come preaching any other doctrine than that, I'm in a big, big trouble. But look at what we got doing it today. But I had told you that there was more than that 12 in that upper room. Let me see if I can find it here. Okay. Yeah. Here, verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. 120 in that room that day. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased the field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. Well, we know he hung himself, Judas did, because he had betrayed Jesus. But in that upper room that day, there was 120. We already read where it said every one of them that was there received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yet look at the lies we are being told from our churches. And yet, man, just will keep going to them. Keep listening to them. And we're told to stay away from these that are not teaching that word of God. That if we continue going and listening to them, they will tear us down. Yet we sit and tempt the Spirit of Almighty God, don't we? Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that guides us, that gives us the power that we need to walk as your children, Father. Now, Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. Father, for this land of ours that's turned its back and walked so far away, Father, we pray for this land. We pray that enough will come together to get out of office those that are standing against your church, against the Lord Jesus Christ, and to help us, Father, to see the wrong that needs to be righted, and help us to put people in, Father, to those offices that will stand for the church, stand for the Jesus Christ, and help us to put this government of ours back upon the foundation in which it was written and founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for our prayer list, as each name is called, I ask the Holy Spirit to touch those names, Father, to bring about the infilling of whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavley, Tom, Tom's friend Dennis and Dennis's family in Oklahoma, Amy, Amy's friend Sue and Sue's family in Texas, Jacob, Tom and Amy's son, Father, this young man, use him in a mighty and great way among the young people there in Texas. For Terry Coates, for Dennis Breeden, Father, for the brothers in Christ, Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church, the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay, this young man, William, Father, that has been ordained into the ministry. I pray that the Holy Spirit has been his teacher and he is the minister you want him to be. Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie, Father, you know what is needed there. We lift them up in prayer, Father, and put them in your hands. Now, Father, for that little full gospel church of God there at Akron, Father, may it become a place of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. Father, we pray for you to put one in there, Father, that will go in there, taking the Holy Spirit and making that church into be what you want it to be, Father. For Haroon Islam in Pakistan, Father, be with him. Keep him safe, keep him in health. For the Johnson family, for the Lee family, for the Taylor family, for my wife's family, my family, for the Branson family, and for all families that will hear this message. Father, those that are walking in darkness, may the Holy Spirit work within these families. Turn those from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus, so that none be lost and all will find a way to make heaven their home. Now, Father, be with all those that are in sick, distressed, whatever it may be, Father. Touch them with a healing hand, that mighty healing of the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heal them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.